Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big stuff that's gone on in tech this week. Not sure what it is because I've had my face in the laptop trying to edit at home, waiting for my plasterer to turn up, who may or may not come on the day that it is. So, but what he does is brilliant. It is truly brilliant. It's artistic. Beyond belief. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, great panel, absolutely wonderful panel. Starting us off from the register, Alistair Dabbs.
Hello.
Couple of weeks since we've seen you, mate. What you been up to?
Don't know, really. It's stuff. Did go on a trip abroad. That was very nice.
Oh, this was for a techie thing, wasn't it? It was
an invite. Flew out in the morning, came back in the evening. I'm not quite sure where we went, but it was there were airports and things.
Excellent, mate. What was that for?
That was for my subject of the week, actually. It was for Huawei.
Okay. Right, so we won't spoil that then. We'll save it for the story.
Yep.
Well done. Glad to have you back, mate. Next to him, it's Camps. How you doing, Mel?
I'm good. Good. Really busy week this week at work. Up and down from Leeds to London on the train. Done lots of train miles this week. And, yeah, a bit of a late dash to get back for tonight.
And having a titter at all the other people in your sector's misfortune.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Move on.
Don't have a Google plug-in. Next to him, it's Carrie, mate. Haven't seen you in ages. Glad you could make it. You had an appointment cancelled, didn't you?
I don't even remember
this
anymore.
Week, or was that last week or next week? I don't know.
So many things have shifted and moved the last 2 weeks. I don't know. What day is it?
Not to mention the political landscape.
Yeah, well, that was going to be that way one way or the other.
Okay.
It really wouldn't have mattered who won. The same reaction.
Well, at least you get to keep your gun for 4 more years.
Yeah, just the one.
Yeah. And last but by no means least is Righty Boy.
Hello, sorted mate. How are you? You had a week or something? You had a bit of a bad one, have you?
It's just been turbulent, mate. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just been, come on. A bit less shit, a bit more do would be good.
Yeah, we all have those weeks, don't we?
So have you sorted out your connection then? What was up? Or was it Campion? It actually was Campion's fault.
Yeah, well, people camping on my line. Yeah, how dare you? I am line four. How dare you give line four to anyone else? And I will be protesting to the highest degree.
It's a very comfortable line that you've got though there.
Yeah. He didn't wear your pyjamas quite as well, though, I have to say. Oh. Can you hear me?
Well, I lost it again.
Hello? Mate, go and get 50p in the meter.
It's all gone wrong.
It's all right, I can hear you. We can hear you fine. You did freeze earlier.
Yeah, I can't hear you, though.
Well, you can't, of course you can hear me, because you've just told me that you can hear me.
If you do sign language now, and I can't hear you, so move to sign language, and we'll be fine. Go on, here you go. Yeah. Because I see that, I got that,
So I can hear you. Yeah. Well, that's because I'm not
that's
talking.
Good. No, that's fine. Yeah, we'll just do the week in tech. Son.
This could be a long,
What's going on?
Who'd like to have the first story? At least it won't be Righty because he can't put it in the chat room. He hasn't got a clue that we're talking about stuff.
I got a great story to kick us off with.
Oh, my God. Carrie Holtzman, stick a link in the chat room and tell us your story, mate.
All right. Well, there's a browser add-on that I've been recommending for quite some time called Web of Trust.
It's not a bank thing, is it, for Google Chrome?
What?
It's a what?
It's not a bank thing for Google Chrome, is it?
No. This is a great idea where... specifically for people that are not techie type people, it just adds this little browser extension onto your browser, whatever browser you use, Chrome or Firefox or Internet Explorer, whatever. And it gives you like a little green donut, if you will. If the site you're about to visit is safe, it'll turn yellow if it's unknown as to the legitimacy of the site, or red if the site is known as being dangerous. Now, this is decided by the community, not by any corporate entity that could theoretically then get paid to be taken off the red list, if you will. So it's all crowdsourced information, and people can choose to rate a site and participate, or they can just use the product and they don't have to participate at all. It will even show up in your Google searches next to the search results with little green, yellow, and red circles. And if you're not even paying attention and you just click on a red circle, the browser will come up and say, Web of Trust is preventing you from visiting the site. It's been rated as dangerous. Do you wish to go there anyway? And it's free and just a wonderful, great utility for non-techie people. Someone types in like Dell technical support into Google, and you'll be surprised how many red circles you're going to see from places that are appearing to be Dell support and in fact are not. Well, what ended up happening is the...
I was going to say, people at this point might think this is more like a cool thing, but it's not.
Well, it started off as a cool thing, but earlier in November, a report out of Germany claimed that the browser add-on was selling its users' browser histories to third parties without properly anonymizing the data, and that resulted in personal identification of Web of Trust users. There were also some debate over whether the company behind Web of Trust properly informed its users of data collection actions performed by the extension. So Web of Trust was broken. Following the German language report, Mozilla yanked Web of Trust from Firefox's add-on catalog, and on Sunday, Web of Trust voluntarily pulled down its own add-on extension from the the extension libraries of all other browsers, including Chrome and Opera. Basically, they were able to pull this user data that they're selling to third parties and, you know, get people's email addresses, phone numbers, sexual preferences. All this information was in there, and it wasn't anonymized from judges and police officers, all identifiable. So the good news is that Web of Trust is claiming they thought they were anonymizing it. This is news to them, and they are as upset as everybody
honest girl.
According, I mean, look, this is a good, in my opinion, this is a good reaction from them. They have voluntarily pulled the product. They're going to figure out how to properly anonymize the data. And only until they've done that will they make the product available again. Now, considering this is a free product, it's good to see that reaction from the company. But for now, what was once a very strong thumbs up, you should use this on your browsers for everybody. Even technical people make mistakes. You can mistype a URL and it takes you to a dangerous website. And it's nice to have that there. It doesn't really consume any resources. You forget it's there. And for people who aren't technically minded, it's just this great little extra add-on to help assist you from staying away from sites that distribute ransomware or fake technical support scams and things of that nature. But so
Web of Trust.
The Web of Trust, what it says on the tin, yes.
It's a scam, isn't it?
It appears to be a grave oversight.
I have to say that I'm very distrustful of things that have reassurances of their trust in their title.
Trust me.
Yes.
Trust you. You're a doctor. Yeah, no.
I've got a presidential election you can buy. Now, listen, the whole thing is, I believe the company is reacting properly. I mean, given the situation, the company can react a couple of different ways. Of course, deflect and deny is an automatic. Anytime any accusations made against any company, whether it's EVGA and their new line of 1070 and 1080 graphics cards reportedly overheating, EVGA has done a great job at responding to that without admitting anything is wrong. You know, again, deflect and deny. But again, reassuring the public that we're going to make this right, whatever we have to do. So, I appreciate that response from Web of Trust. Of course, it shouldn't have happened to begin with.
I've got to say, to be honest, the responsible thing that we should be doing is telling people, if you've been using Web of Trust, for God's sake, go and change an awful lot of things about yourself. Get your mother's grandparents to marry differently so that they have a different maiden name for her, for a start. Change your date.
Yeah, you could play Sim Life with Web of Trust with your real life if you wanted to, or you could simply remove the extension.
Yeah, but but people need to know that they've been given this stuff away, and that's just pulling it isn't due diligence, surely.
Well, the cat's out of the bag, is he? I don't know how you this is the problem with knowledge. You know, people assume all information is good, but the problem with knowledge and information is once you know something, you can never unknow it.
Okay, so here we go. They know they f***ed up, and they haven't told everyone they f***ed up. They've just pulled the extension. That's not
true. No, they've admitted there's a problem.
That's not it.
It's a good start.
You individually.
What else? Let me ask you a question. What should they do? Should they just shutter their doors and go out of business?
No, you go door to door individually to the people whose lives you messed up, and you put it right. That's not a good response. I'm not having that.
I'm just having a look on that community forum now, and there's a bit of an open letter on that community forum, which obviously, to your point, Ewan, people will only read it if they go on the community forum. But partway down, what it says is, to this end, we're taking the following steps. And point three in their following steps is, for people who agree to let us use their browsing data in order to support WOT, we will implement a complete overhaul of our data cleaning process to optimize our data anonymization and aggregation objectives to minimize any risk of exposure for our users. So ultimately, what that tells me is that they're pulling it now, they will relaunch it and as part of that, they will, as part of the terms and conditions, I suppose, of signing back up to it, you're going to agree to them sharing your browsing data, and only then are you going to get the anonymized report. So if you've got that extension in place now and you don't delete the extension, you continue to use it, I'm wondering if it will still work. Will your data still be out there, or are they stopping it at their end?
No, by everything you've just said, that it will. There's no mechanism for stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I interpreted what they wrote differently from the way I just heard you say it. Because the way they wrote it appears that you can choose to opt in or opt out of supporting Web of Trust. And by supporting it, you're opting in to say you can anonymize my data and share it as my way of supporting this free product. Or you may choose to use the free product and choose not to participate with them sharing the data and not support the product. That's the way I read that.
Oh, That doesn't say whether that's passive or whether that's an active agreement.
It's just like when you install Microsoft Security Essentials, it'll ask if you wish to participate whenever you get a virus or a flagged file, that it'll send that to Microsoft for data usage. Okay. You can opt in or opt out.
Yeah, well, but to draw the differences there, that is actually anonymized, whereas this isn't.
But and you have but to, they thought it was.
And it's a positive action to opt in.
And they still think it is. They say, well, we think we've fixed it.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it says we're going to put it back up and make it available again once we fixed it. It doesn't say that they fixed it.
Yeah, but I mean, then, do we trust them? Because they thought they'd get it the first time. Now they go, oh, we've got it right.
Well, who's worse? If you take them off and you have nothing, then you're subject to all of the bad internet sites it's protecting you from with virtually no protection whatsoever. Is that worse or is that better?
They just say stuff. It's not true.
There's a really good point on the community forum. Somebody said, why don't you at least open your Whois information? Basically, they're not showing who their Whois is. How can we trust you when you don't trust us to know who you are and who you are dealing with our information? So their Whois
information. They're also trying to protect themselves from the internet sites they're blocking that are trying theoretically to exact revenge on the source of their blocking their income or their potential income of virus infections that they could make.
I think you've been had by the snake oil salesman and you're desperate for another bottle.
I'm a computer technician by trade, and I'm very much into any product that can help a consumer. And when a product is free, and I've said this many times before, when the product is free, whether it's, you know, a free antivirus like AVG, Avira, when the product is free, the product is you.
Yeah.
They've got to make money somehow. I can give some slack for an error, a mistake, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that it was a mistake, and maybe I'm naive in that. If it happens again, that's a different story entirely. But there is no free alternative to this product that I'm aware of that is that works as well as this product worked and is controlled entirely by the community and not by some corporate entity deciding who can buy their way out of a blacklist?
So there's a lot of points to raise there, but I mean, the first one I would suggest is that what disturbs me about this is I think their due diligence before they started was crap.
Agreed.
And their due diligence since they've been found out is equally crap, because all they've done, according to this, is effectively get, oh, sorry, everybody. Well, hang on, that's not good enough, because when you go, sorry, everybody, that's an outward communication, and you've got no feedback of everyone hearing that everybody and realizing that you're sorry. So you have to go out and do the right thing, which is all the people that you bent over and screwed, whether it was deliberate or otherwise, you have to go out to each of every one of those doors, knock on those doors and say, excuse me, I screwed up. Your data's out there. I'd change your password if I were you.
Well, and what precedent are you using? If you spent $40,000 on a new Volkswagen, did Volkswagen do that? And this is a free product. It's completely free. Nobody forced you to use it.
But they didn't give up. Volkswagen didn't give away my banking password. It's not even close to being the same. It's not. There's no
analogy. It's worse. They're just,
give over, man. There's no analogy.
No. But they've been selling all sorts of blooming information, or leaving it exposed there, even drug consumption, confidential company information, travel plans, possible illness, shopping habits, sexual orientation.
Potential. That's all potential.
Oh, Carrie. Oh, mate.
Oh, Carrie, I love you, but no.
We love you to bits, but that's just like, mate, you, when you're old, someone's going to come and sell you something and you're not going to get your money back. You've got kick me written all over you.
I've seen this product help a lot of people. I've seen it prevent a lot of problems. I don't know anybody yet who's been a victim of any sort of identity theft as a result of using this product. It doesn't mean that information hasn't happened. I just haven't heard of it yet.
Well, the Tsar of Russia said Rasputin was a lovely bloke.
Yeah.
Again, they
sit on this data for a long time.
You've got to judge people by their actions when they get caught out, and just holding your hands up and going, ah, well, is not due diligence. That's not
But they've,
okay.
they've pulled the product so you can't That's download it anymore okay. until the problem is addressed. Yahoo had their accounts hacked in 2014. They're just now telling us?
I'm not defending Yahoo.
Well, I'm saying, where's the precedent for your expecting this certain behavior when it's not shown in the industry ever? Give me one example where a company was put into a similar situation and behaved, in your opinion, in the right way.
Adobe.
Give me an example. What happened with Adobe?
Well, they wrote to me and told me that my account was probably compromised.
Oh, but that's forced. They have to do that. If you have an account that's compromised, they have to do that. I mean, TeamViewer with their hacks, they had to do the same thing.
Right, so
that's standard operating procedure.
Why isn't what writing to all the people or sending an active message out to all the people that use it saying this is vulnerable software, we have been incorrectly anonymizing your stuff, we may have compromised passwords and personal details, we suggest you change them as soon as you can.
Because you don't have to sign up for an account. You don't have to provide WOT with any information. You can download the extension for your browser and not create an account whatsoever. They don't know who you are.
Is there an active message that says, by the way, if you've downloaded this, this may have compromised your data? No.
It's not available to download right now.
No, but if people are still using it, they should be getting a warning. This is like the Samsung Galaxy.
Oh, that's a fair point. That I agree with you there, yes.
Oh, thank you. So there is nothing that they're doing that is other than passive. Oh, we'll take it down. Everything will be fine. No,
that's a fair point. Fair point.
That's what I'm saying. If you've made a cock-up, you've got to do the legwork.
In other words, if you were like me and you were running Web of Trust and you didn't read that story for 4 days after it came out, that should have come up on Web of Trust at a pop-up the minute that story broke.
This device may explode. Please return it.
Yes. Yes. I agree. Okay.
Right. So it is actually a piece of shit.
Well, compared to what?
Compared to companies that do decent recalls.
A paid product? What if you paid for the product? That would be insult to injury. At least to their benefit, it was a free product. It's not much, but it's something.
It's free for us.
If I'm getting... Well, as long as I'm not paying for it, I'm okay with that. I tell you what, I listen to Doc defend Apple when it sounds like, what the hell are you on, man? What are you smoking? And I've never seen him as naive as you. And he's a fanboy.
What do you do when you've got a non-technical person using a computer who regularly uses Google search and ends up at sites and gets themselves infected? They don't want to pay for antivirus. They've had issues with ransomware. They have issues with pop-ups and computer slowdowns. And how do you help a customer like that? And that is, by the way, the majority of computer users. Most computer users are not technical people.
Let's draw a distinction between a product that actually does that. And
they see a picture of an icon, they point at it, and they click on it. That's the beauty of the Mac platform and the Windows platform, which took us out of the DOS days where you actually had to know coding and understand computers to some level, and they made it accessible easily for anybody who could point at the picture with the mouse and click the button. So for those people, which are the vast majority of computer owners, how do you protect them from themselves?
This is further down the line than MacKeeper. What? And MacKeeper's bad.
Mm, yeah.
MacKeeper, oh, God, yeah. Mate, I think it's a fantastic service if that's what it actually does, but it doesn't. It takes your stuff and it gives it away, and it's compromised the data, and it's done nothing to make you aware of the fact that it's compromised all your data other than pull the product down. That's not due diligence.
Yes, well, like I said, I agree that they should have deactivated the product for people that already have it installed, or put some kind of message up that required a confirmation if they wanted to continue using it until the problem was addressed. I agree with that part of your statement. But I think that mistakes get made, and I think a mistake was made here. You know, I have a letter from the credit card company on a regular basis that my account has been hacked. So even though I did everything right to protect my credit card, the credit card company, the bank themselves, or the store that I use the card at didn't do everything they should have done, and a mistake was made, and as a result, my card was compromised, despite I did nothing wrong. And it's kind of a similar situation here. Users didn't do anything wrong.
But the bank wrote to you.
What?
The bank wrote to you. The product isn't just the thing that makes companies good. Yes, or makes services.
But the difference...
Let me finish, mate. The product isn't what makes the company good. It's all the after sales that go with it and the due diligence that's there. It's a package of all of those things. It's not just about something that opens your door.
I don't think you can expect, and I don't think it's right or fair to expect the same quality from something that's free as you would for something that you pay for. I think if this is a product you had paid for, we'd be looking at a class action lawsuit against this company.
Oh, that's going to come.
And that may happen anyway. But the fact is, I think when you're getting something for free, you do not have a right to complain. You can't go to a soup kitchen and complain how terrible the soup is. Don't eat it and leave. Nobody forced you in there. Nobody's making you eat.
Yeah, but if you die of botulism, you can.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
Well,
yeah,
either you way, can. Your problem's solved.
Say, oh, well, it was free botulism, so no chance.
I think a point well made, Ali, yes. Alistair's right, mate. I'm sorry.
It doesn't work that way, at least not in the United States with food. If somebody gives you food for free and you get sick from that food, they cannot sue you for that unless you knowingly knew that that food was tainted. There's actually a specific law to that.
If you failed to take reasonable precautions to ensure its hygiene, that would be manslaughter. That's the same thing as in the UK, mate. Your legal system's the same as
that. In British law, that's not a defence.
That's
well, apparently
good.
This is a good first subject, and you're welcome.
In the bed, they can't say, oh, well, it was only
Kerry,
two.
Kerry, just have a look out the window and make sure your sky's the same colour as ours, will you? Because based on everything you
said, orange too, right?
I've known you for about 8 years, and I've never seen you this far off the rails, pal.
I don't know how to respond to that. To me, it's purely logical. I am unbiased. I think the product... works very well. It doesn't cost any money to the user. I think they made a mistake. I do believe it was a mistake. I may be naive. Maybe they're pretending this was a mistake. I don't know. I don't work for the company. I'm not inside. I don't know how this happened. I'm grateful that the security researchers discovered it, because who knows how much longer this could have gone on. The sooner we know about it, the sooner it can be corrected. And when Web of Trust gets it resolved, I will give them another chance. And if it happens again, that's it. I'm done with them. But in the meantime, for right now, I'm no longer recommending it. And I do warn in general of any free product or service all the time. Always be warned that whatever is free, the product is you. That's it. I mean, it's always the case.
And I'm not disagreeing with that, but the rest of it is, I want what you're smoking, mate, but not in as much quantity.
What do you think they're going to do with this information? What could possibly happen? I'm just kind of curious why you're making such a big deal out of it.
To see who it affects.
No, I mean, what do you think is the negative outcome of this? Now somebody's going to know my sexual orientation. Somebody's going to know my email address.
No, but somebody might know my email address, my sexual orientation, who I bank with, where my child goes to school, where I live.
Well, look, this is what I was saying is it says, you know, we don't collect.
That's all on Facebook anyway.
Oh, hang on, Kerry. Let Alistair talk.
Your internet address, your geographic location, the devices you're using, time and date, every website you've ever browsed or clicked on or accessed, and your user ID. Apparently having user ID is not a way of identifying you. Brilliant.
What good does that information do anybody? Most of the information people put willingly on Facebook, their location, geolocation, date and time, their websites they go to, the things they're interested in, who their friends and family members are.
Knowingly putting it on Facebook, Harry.
Hang on. This is the anonymized. If you actually join the forums, that's when it's not like, oh, I volunteer to give you information. It's if you want to join the forums, then there's a whole list of other things they take on. And if you're foolish enough to log in via one of your social media sign-ins, they also suck your life dry from your social network.
But that's every site that does that. Any site that says, like Spotify, you want to sign in with your Facebook account? Of course they want you to do that.
Yeah, well, at least I'd expect that.
Yeah, but they don't get the details.
It's called Web of Trust.
They're not supposed to. No. The thing is you don't. You're assuming they're not.
Right, if you're going to sign in.
I don't know that this is an isolated incident, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, right, okay. I don't believe it, but okay.
If you go to a place that wants you to log in through Facebook, it goes through a Facebook API back to Facebook, and the company that you're signing in with doesn't get your password and username.
No, it doesn't get your password, but the information it's going to get will often show up in a list when you click OK to confirm that you want to associate your Facebook account with Spotify or Pandora, for example. Lewis Black, a comedian, did a great
show. The list
great
says name, email address, username, password, any other personal information on the applicable from the social network operator, profile pictures, public and basic information, status, photos. Hey, I've signed in lots of places through Facebook and I haven't asked for all of that.
I thought I was going to be
But you don't have to agree to it.
Go on.
Well, no, indeed, you don't.
No, you don't. Agree. That's right. But you get a choice. That's the point.
But you didn't they have the word here. Trust in the name. So I believe.
I thought that was going to be a shit story. I think that's one of the greatest debates we've ever had.
You're welcome.
Same story then.
You're going to have the same story. Good lad.
We'll start all over.
We're going to do
a whole hour on Web of Trust. We've done
all right, I've set the bar.
I think Web of Trust are
Who's
fantastic,
next?
And I think you're giving them a hard time.
We haven't got 4 hours for the show. We've done half an hour on Web of Trust.
Web of not trust?
No, Web of no trust.
Web of lies. Web of deception.
Well, let me just go there and go, what?
Web of deception. There we go.
Web of all of your information you've ever put online.
Including your mother's maiden name and your dog.
This is starting to sound like a South Park episode.
And your porn name. And those pictures of your old face.
Hey,
who's next?
I told you not to share those with anybody.
Righty, talk us through it. Google rebuffs EU antitrust charge against Android.
Well, yeah, it's been going on a little while. So EU have been giving Google a bit of a bashing at the moment, claiming that they're using their dominance to suppress other competitors in the market. So we all know that Android is open source and Google uses it to their own end, and all sorts of Chinese manufacturers and all sorts of companies on low-end devices use it. But the EU want to fine them $7.4 billion because they're forcing manufacturers to pre-install their apps. You're like, okay, yeah, so Android is yours, but it is open source, and other people can use it, but it can't be an approved Google device unless you have Google Search, Google Play on there and all those sort of things. So it's been going on for a little while, but Google have hit back and they've said, well, if you look at the market, their two biggest, well, I say their two biggest rivals, Apple and Microsoft, and they've come up with some figures. So they're saying on the iPhone 7, 39 out of 39 apps that are pre-installed on the iPhone 7 come from Apple.
Yeah, but none of them are any good. It's the stocks.
Oh, no, and you can delete that shit as well, thank God. And on the Lumia 550, God knows why they picked on that phone, but 39 out of 47 pre-installed apps from Microsoft. They're kind of saying that, you know, we're not kind of halving the market, we're expanding it. But they've also got cases in Russia and Portugal that are going on saying that they're being unfair. So I'm just wondering, are they wrong? You know, they released an operating system that's open source. Obviously, they're trying to lock it down a bit more with their Pixel phones and all that sort of thing, and they're releasing features that aren't available on other carriers and other manufacturers right now. I don't really see that Google is unfair to bundle their search and their messaging apps and that on their operating system. You get iMessage and Safari and those sort of things that are default apps on iPhone. So is it worth the European Union trying to fine them $7.4 billion?
I think you've got to look at the volume of sales, though, in comparison. I mean, Android outstrips all of the other manufacturers put together in terms of volume of sales.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So but, the behaviour, you know, based on market share is monopolistic.
Sounds like their understanding is out of date, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a point from Deep Chain in the chat, but
isn't
this the EU browser ballot all over again?
Yeah, which is like, you know, so 90s.
Yeah, so just like it, yeah.
You know, but it's not the way it works now.
Deep Panny saying, are the EU going after BMW for pre-installing BMW seats in their cars? But that's not it. That's, again, the analogies are wrong there, because if you said that they were installing seats and they put a proprietary connector on there that meant that you physically couldn't install any of the seats, then that would be a problem.
That'd be like Sony then.
Yeah. But it's the thing is as well that everyone's got to remember is it's not having a monopoly, it's monopolistic behaviour that's the key. And that's the point, is that if you're saying to me, I've got a browser that I cannot go away from, and you're giving me untold riches for maintaining that exclusivity, then that is monopolistic behaviour, even if you don't have a monopoly on the market. I think it is very much like the EU, the Internet Explorer thing all over again, and the browser ballot.
Just like it, yeah.
And I think the problem that you've got is that the market share that they hold means that then the activities that they take can be viewed as monopolistic, no?
So basically, the size of Android is the reason, isn't it?
Well, you're talking
I guess.
Worldwide, you're talking about 400,000 units a week.
So it's part of the scenario here that in terms of search, Google, I suppose, is both set to default. I was saying that in terms of Android, Google is the only pre-installed option for search, whereas when you look at iPhone, obviously from a Safari point of view, is Google now the default set? I mean, it used to be Bing once upon a time, but you can go into settings and switch to Bing. You can use Google. I think DuckDuckGo is on there as well, and probably Yahoo, I would expect. Are we saying it's a different scenario than that Android is only pre-installing Google and there is no pre-installed option to change to a competitor?
But isn't that their marketing model, isn't it? They have an open source operating system.
Well, no, but I don't
need to make money somewhere.
Does anyone know the answer to Camp's question first? Because I don't.
Because I think Google is now, it's either Google or Bing is now the default when you take an iPhone out of the box, and I think they've paid for the privilege of being the default. But as a consumer, I can go in, I can change that default to any one of the other three or four other browsers that are available within settings.
Yeah.
I just don't know what the case is within Android.
Yeah, because didn't Firefox used to pay Google a huge amount of money to have Google as default search, didn't they? And they took it away.
Yeah, that was
a thing.
Is anybody in the chat room now?
I'm trying to see Safari.
Yeah, but I think the other thing that you mentioned there, Wrighty, was the fact that Google are giving inducements to firms so that they maintain Google's exclusivity. That's one of the key issues. So it's, you can call yourself a Google-approved phone, providing you exclusively give Google rights to all search results. And that's monopolistic behaviour.
Yeah, so... So probably my opening statement was probably wrong, but if you look at that, it's kind of like in the same way that I Internet Explorer was pre-installed on Windows 95, and post that killed Netscape Navigator and all those sort of things. So, but that is Google's business model, isn't it? It's they want their service on everything. They want you to connect to their service on everything. But the other point that I looked at earlier is that Android being an open source operating system has helped a lot of other companies flourish.
Yeah, I think the one thing that bothers me, I think it's really hard to be a successful company around the EU sometimes. Let's say for all the other phone companies collapsed and Google were the only people selling cell phones and cell phone systems or operating systems. If no one else is doing it, no one else is trying to do it, and you're not doing anything to stop anyone else from trying to do it, even though you have a monopoly, I don't know that the EU would step in and tell you that you had to do something else, like start a competitor. I mean, maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. But if you're in that position where you are a large company and you're doing stuff which appears... No matter what your intentions are, you're doing stuff which appears to make it look like you're trying to stop others from doing it, then that's what the EU are bothered about. That's what they're upset about, is when you're appearing to look like you're choking and throttling the market and therefore endangering the freedom and the choosability that the citizens of Europe would have. I think it's one of the main reasons I want to stay in Europe, to be honest, because it's... They do look after consumers in Europe.
Yeah, isn't there more choice now when you come to a mobile phone now in the terms of like Mac versus Windows when they did the browser ballot?
It's not about having choice, mate. That's what I've just said. It's not about having choice. It's about companies allowing you to have choice and not trying to do things to stop you having choice. It doesn't matter that there is or isn't a choice. It's the behaviour that's the issue. That's why I think I think people struggle with it.
Is it worth $7.4 billion, though?
No, it seems a funny thing to get at Google about when there are so many other things they could do. Like get them to pay tax or stop interfering in government policy and stuff like that.
Yeah, but the tax one, I think, because the problem that you've got is that all of these corporations they can afford better lawyers than all of the countries that write the EU legislation for tax. So, you put this overarching treaty in that allows people to have a single point of landing of products into the EU without thinking about the fact that none of them charge a uniform tax rate. And therefore, then, when you start implementing franchising, it means that those non-uniform tax rates need to be applied right across the whole union, which that's not what the intention of the union was back when it was started. But no one's changed the law. No one's rewritten the law to think about varying tax rates.
Yeah, that's one aspect of tax on sales.
Yeah.
All they have to do is pay fair corporation tax and they'd be fine.
Yeah, but they don't have to because they have such a large overhead for franchising back to Liechtenstein, Southern Ireland, etc., which has a lower corporate tax rate.
Oh, it's not even to a lower tax rate. It's to... It's just money laundering, and there are laws against money laundering.
Well, let's be careful what we say, eh? We're not accusing anyone of money laundering.
The views, hours, and dabs are not that of the British.
Do that at your own podcast. I ain't got the money to pay that one. Bob Beach is saying, hard to be successful in the EU is nonsense. That's not what I'm saying. I said it's hard being a successful company in the EU. I didn't say it was hard to be successful in the EU. That's not what I meant. I might have said that, but that's not what I meant. And he's put an article in that says EU rapid press release IP 1692. Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Yeah, there are a lot of things they could go for Google for, but search engine is always going to be their weak point, isn't it? Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
Just seems pointless, doesn't it?
Well, not if you get 7 billion, it's not.
No.
Pretty good day at the office. Fair.
It's pretty tasty.
Yeah, I think, as I say, I think most people struggle in their own minds with monopolies and mergers because of the fact that they think that it's about owning all the market, and it's not. It's nothing to do with that. It's about trying to corner the market. It's the early warning signs of cornering the market that are at issue.
I think that boat has sailed, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. But that's what my point. I think, you know, Google just did it better than everyone else, and everyone else had a fair crack at it, and they screwed it up. Google got it right. And it seems harsh thereafter. But it's the things that they do to protect it. Good story. Good story. Who's got a story? Camps and Alistair.
There you go.
Camps is beating you up. Alistair gets last word, you see. It's what he's doing. He's clever. Buy Snapchat spectacles at this weirdo vending machine.
Back in September, October, Snapchat announced that they were going to be releasing some basically sunglasses style plastic rims with a couple of built-in cameras on there, which they can record 10-second little video clips, which they can automatically sync to Snapchat themes. So I said to the Snapchat app. Cat speak tonight, and ultimately they can get their little videos out online, and they've started today giving people the ability to buy these $130 glasses, if you like, through located vending machines that are going to be in certain locations for a small period of time, tracked by the Spectacles website. And people are basically looking at where the vending machine's going to appear next, and then I'm assuming rushing out and buying them, so they can use them on the Snapchat app. So probably massive marketing appeal as a result of this, rather than volume sales appeal. But absolutely going to get the glasses out there. But yeah, I just thought it was an interesting concept. Not necessarily so much. Obviously, the news this week is that the vending machine is out. But I don't think we've talked about on the show previously the fact that Snapchat are releasing these $130 camera equipped specs. And I just wondered what people on the panel thought of them, because I can see it actually being quite an interesting thing around sort of the teens who might usually record maybe a quick GoPro type clip on a skateboard or on a BMX, rather than doing that, actually using these little camera spectacle lenses instead.
These are going for $900 on eBay, by the way, because there's so few of them. So
they look awful.
Here's the thing I don't understand: when you buy glasses, you try them on, right? You go, okay, does how do these make me look, right? Or you go, well, how do these make me look? But how do you do that when they're coming out of a vending machine?
Well, they're all the same, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all. I think
why not just give me a little camera I can clip on to whatever glasses I already have?
These things aren't coming with prescription lenses either. They're for people who don't need prescription lenses, Gary. I think you're not the target market.
What if you're wearing sunglasses? What? I mean, I'm in Arizona. I wear sunglasses more than I wear prescription glasses. Why not just sell a little camera that can clip on to any style of frame?
I think that's a really great idea, but where are you going to put the batteries? No answers, please, on postcard.
That's a GoPro or something of that ilk, isn't it? What?
It's a built-in product. It's easier to manage and manufacture and distribute.
But the target market is, what, 10 to 17-year-olds, something like that?
Well, no.
Not 10-year-olds, no.
I think the one thing I think that you can give kudos to Snapchat for is they've got their market sorted. And they've even got people outside their market sorted. So you've got, my daughter is obsessed with a little Snapchat thing and pulling faces on it. Ellis is obsessed with it on his iPhone. And there's nights I'm sitting watching the TV with the missus, and out the corner of my eye, I can see things going on. And I'm kind of like, will you pay attention? I'm looking around, she's pulling faces. What the hell are you doing? Oh, I'm playing with Snapchat. You're 50 years old. What are you doing? Well, she's going to hit me for that because she's not, but she didn't listen to this. What the hell are you doing? You're 50 years old. You should be playing with Snapchat. Oh, but they keep releasing new stuff. And that's where they've got the money. They keep churning. Mm. There is a churn to the product that keeps people interested in it. And $130, are kids affluent enough, for 10 to 17-year-olds affluent enough to buy this?
I think it's a marketing stunt, because if certainly for the next few months, the only way you can buy these is out of a vending machine, then they're not going to be pumping any sort of serious volume out into the marketplace. It's not like they've just launched these on Amazon. So there's a marketing stunt to get people interested in Snapchat for a start. But I think as soon as this goes live, and is probably sold on in places like Amazon, then I don't know. Would people spend $130 on a GoPro to record a bit of skateboarding and BMX and stuff like that?
Well, they spend $350 on a GoPro.
So this is a cheaper option for the younger end of the age group, if that's what they want.
Have we got any specs of like how long it records for, or...?
It's 10-second clips. It's short 10-second videos.
Is that just killed?
That sounds right, yeah.
What resolution?
Doesn't matter. I've not seen anything that tells me the resolution on these. It's not going to be high.
What's the lux rating? I mean, there's obviously, this is not for serious photographers. This is obviously intended for kids, but... I don't get it. I don't get how, when I was a kid, most important thing to me was to be different from just like everybody else, to be unique, to have my own style. And why would I want to wear the same glasses everybody else has? That's the last thing I would have wanted.
Yeah, but I think that's the other way around. Now everyone wants the same shoes.
Well, according to this, these girls that are in this video, they've hit the feminine market straight away. The glasses are a different color on a couple of them. It looks like they've got a video from Casey Neimstadt, which is going to give them good sales straight away. No, he's big, mate.
He's massive.
Casey Neimstadt, mate. Yeah. Where have you?
I don't know what he does. I watch his videos. I'm like,
he makes videos. That's it.
I've watched them, and I don't know what I'm watching. I'm like,
you're watching Casey live his life and getting paid for it.
Yeah, he's just like going about his daily errand. I mean, he does some cool stuff every now and again, you know, wakeboarding out on the river in Amsterdam.
He gets products, though, doesn't he, to evaluate, and then gets paid for evaluation of them. But
that's journalists. I think it sounds fun. I was just wondering why they did it this time of year. I mean, when it's pissing down with rain, you know, do you really want to queue up outside at a vending?
Yeah. I think the holidays. The machine thing is the marketing spoof into before the launch.
Good old Christmas sunglasses. That's what.
That's right.
Exactly. So you can see better through the rain.
The whole world.
Better
is
pick up eight pairs of them. So.
Half the planet is in sun at the moment, mate. I think so.
I've got a 10-year-old nephew, and I have no doubt he would wear these. He would wear them when he's out on his skateboard on the park. He would record his little 10-second video clips, and he would post them on YouTube or share them with his friends on Snapchat. And I think he would wear these for definite.
Do you think he'd give up his £100 Nike Ultras for these?
Probably not.
Nike Hubris Ultras.
No. I can see this being on his Christmas list, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. When my daughter was tiny, she had a Barbie digital camera. It was a complete piece of shit, but she loved it.
Yeah, my daughter, the VTech ones, she loves recording clips on that. The resolution is absolute crap, but she loves recording. She does little shows. She records us while she's doing her own little shows. Kids, I think, will go for these.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just checking my daughter's Christmas list. She emailed me, and thank shit, they're not on there, thank God.
Righto.
She doesn't know they exist yet.
We'll be queuing in the rain outside.
Bar humbug, thank you, Scrooge McNorfolk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent, mate.
But she emailed you and not Father Christmas.
Yeah. She knows where the money comes from. She's not stupid.
Well, she is 35.
Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly. and my aunt.
I don't know. I like them. And they've got a little LED ring around them. Have you seen it? That looks really cool. And the girl switches it on. They do look all right. And the video, I've watched the video, and it's very GoPro-ish, so I'm not sure that it's actually a genuine render of what they've shot with it. But even if it's 720p, it's still very usable.
I think to go back to your point earlier, Ewan, Snapchat know, they know the market, they're capturing them, and they're producing a product that absolutely sits with their market.
Yeah, well, they've got me wife, that's for sure. She'd love him.
Have they just rebranded as well, haven't they? They just
Snap Inc, is it?
Snap Inc,
yeah. I think so, yeah.
At Snap.
Yeah.
At Snap.
See, we're so old, we can't even use the right phrase.
Have you got your blankets just over your knees, boys?
I just want to point out, I only found out who Casey Neistat was a week ago. It's not a joke, that really did.
I learned about him a few months ago because I thought it was somebody related to Sean Penn. I thought he looked a lot like Sean Penn. I said, oh, this must be somebody.
Yeah, he does a little bit. Yeah, no. He did
it. I feel bad about it as well.
No, I was joking. But he did a review on the GoPro Karma. That's how I found him. So, and the power didn't cut out. That's a bad recall, isn't it? Mm. Brand new drone. Let's have more back, eh?
Yeah.
Ouch. It's got to hurt. Good. Lily's breathing a sigh of relief. Alistair, do you have a story for us, mate?
Yep. Nice, quick one to finish with. The reason I wasn't here last Thursday. Did you do last Thursday? No, you didn't. I can't remember.
We did, but you weren't. But yes.
It was. I went to Munich. That's where I went for a big European launch with the Chinese company Huawei, with their new phone, which is this one here.
Oh, you got one. Is that the one?
Oh, yes.
It's the Mate 9.
Wow.
And this is the first time that I would consider switching to Android.
Alistair,
so this is a 5.5-inch
screen. I love you.
And it's, it's just really nice. Phone.
This was the man who said they don't give me products to review. I'm not the kind of person you give products to review to a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I keep saying it. People try and prove me wrong. But it is just that normally for me, Android is like, if you watch a video of ballet in Android, it's like watching Tick and Tock. It's so jittery and awful. But everything is so smooth on this phone. It's just lovely. Everything just pops up really quickly. And the specs are about right. I mean, I'm no expert on, I don't do phone reviews until now, but it's the Kirin 960 processor. And they've just tried to make it as fast as they possibly could so that people keep it in their pocket for at least 9 months. They reckon a year and a half. I'm not sure if people do it that long. But it's just a lovely phone, and it just all works really nicely, and it's got some optimization in it.
It
really sold me on this whole thing. And it's got a Leica dual cameras on the back.
No, it hasn't, but okay.
Yeah, I know. I also love the way you can go, switch it on. That's a joke, by the way. It's got the touch thing on the back.
Had me.
Yeah. And
Carrie was done 10 minutes ago.
The video and the audio is good. And I'll tell you, when you're taking video, it does directional audio. And it sounds really good. I kind of surprised myself when I was just doing something in the register for tomorrow.
What's your standard phone? What do you normally use?
I've got an iPhone 6S.
Great.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. But this is better. And I'm
just thinking it's that comparison, Mac. It's that benchmark that you're comparing it to. And if you're saying that's
a slightly older one, isn't
better.
It? I've got three numbers on my business account. So these are the two. These are my main one, and this is my backup number. And I think I'm going to swap the SIMs around.
That's endorsement indeed. And you've got that to keep, have you?
Until they ask for it back. They usually do ask for it back, to say. So I'm really looking after it. The other thing is, it's a dual SIM. But, of course, instead of one of the SIMs, you can put in a SD card. It supports up to 256 gigs.
Jesus.
Which is nice. Built-in, it's got 64. So get an extra card in. I can't imagine what I couldn't put on there. I mean, that's as much as most people have got in their MacBook.
Yeah, true.
It's just really nice phone. The only thing is, I'm a bit of a inside trouser pocket man, and, it's going to slice my gonads off, but it's just too big. Think around it. The phone's too big. Phone. Gonads are just normal size. Want to make that clear.
So that's the P9?
Sorry. Whoa, sorry, yeah. Sorry, no, it was the P9. This is the Mate 9.
Right.
Let me get that.
So this is, we talked about this very briefly last week, and this is a £600 to £700-ish
yes,
phone. Yeah.
So it's, let me just check. I've got the price knocking about somewhere. Yeah, it's €699. So what's that? Yeah. Nearly £1,000. what was really funny is the same launch, they said, oh, we've got a Porsche design version. And, the guy drove up in a Porsche, and it was a great presentation and all of that. But as far as I can see, it's exactly the same phone with more memory, but it costs €1,395.
Deep breath.
And, of course, the audience, big audience, there was a mixture of laughing and everyone else going, and I was saying, would anyone really pay 1,400 quid or euros?
Right, so here's the acid test,
for a phone, Alistair. You know, that's actually no different from this one.
So you've just said that you definitely swap your phone for a free phone. That's okay. Let's suppose it does have to go back. Are you dipping into your pocket for one instead of an iPhone next time?
Next time, yeah. Otherwise, I'll stick with this one. It's really good. I did buy this.
Yeah, no.
And it was about the same price as that.
Let's say it's time to change and they want their phone back. Would you buy one?
Not straight away, no, because this is good. It's the same with, I don't know, go Apple, you know, when people talk about when the new MacBook was coming out with the little slidey thing that gathers all the dust. I thought, yeah, I'll get one of those. And of course, you go home and you go, actually, my computer's pretty good.
Yeah, no.
You know, if I went home and the computer was rubbish, I'd go, yeah, I'll get a new one. You know, my iPhone's great. But next time, I'm definitely looking at the Huawei. Also, if you look at the sales, we've covered this in the register. Andrew's done it.
Yeah.
Is they've maneuvered themselves into number three slot in terms of shipping of smartphones now. So they're right behind Apple. And when I say right behind, you've got, you know, Samsung up here, Apple, and Huawei's right there. So by the end of fourth quarter, they might have overtaken Apple in terms of shipments.
Well, Huawei make a
lot
of the...
In a very short period of time. I mean, they've only just started doing this over the past less than 2 years.
They've been making telephonic devices, though, haven't they? Because if you had a MiFi on any of the previous contracts, chances are it was a Huawei made MiFi. All the big ones that were out there for O2, Vodafone, yep. 3, dongles, they were all... Well,
yeah, their original plan was, you know, let's just kind of soak into the market, showing, you know, we're low cost and good value. But now they've gone, no, marketing, push, give lots of them to journalists for a limited period of time, maybe. It appears to be working. People are, you know, I mean, they're just, it is such a good phone. I was surprised. I thought it'd be rubbish if they're giving it away. But actually, it's really nice.
So that recall email might be falling into your junk items accidentally.
Yeah.
That's all right.
No, it's really, no, the screen's really good and the video and the audio on it, excellent.
I've just got the whole family over to Apple Music and the infrastructure of Apple so that you know, me, Ellis and Sharon are all on iPhones now. But there's a bit of me looking at the iPhone thinking, okay, I might have a hand-me-down 7 Plus for Ellis in the future, and I might go for the 8 next year, but there's a bit of me also sitting thinking, I really enjoyed it when I had a Windows phone and a better camera, and...
Oh, they were great.
It's also bad because, you know, I've had so many problems with Safari. I switched back to Chrome. Yeah. Now I've had loads of problems with iCal. I've just using the Google Calendar and thinking, well, hang on, I'll be using nothing but Google apps on my iPhone. Well, just go to Android, it'd be easier.
Yeah, I see, one of the things that kills me with Google is the fact that you've always got to go to a browser to use a lot of their stuff on a desktop. If they brought out an app more for stuff, then I'd be firmly in their camp. I wouldn't even hesitate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Google Calendar app for iPhone is pretty good, but it doesn't exist on the iPad, which is annoying.
Yeah.
Oh.
That is bad. Right. Well, endorsement indeed. Who's tempted now they've seen that?
Tempted to definitely have a look.
Carrie's
well,
not,
yeah, have a look.
I mean,
you have to be in the market for a new phone. Otherwise, there's no point.
Yeah.
I don't think they're available yet.
No.
Carey's contract for renewal was up in 1988.
Hey, don't make fun of my Samsung Note 7. I was the first to have one and the first to have it blow up.
Really?
No, but that's what you get when you get new products. You get to be the guinea pigs. Not a fan. Everybody comes out and they go, look how exciting this brand new product is. Let's give it a few months. Let's wait and see.
Yeah, that was, you said that in 1988, though.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting.
I mean, yeah, a bit of gaffer tape, though, Alistair. Yeah, you got the clamshell going. Excellent, pal. Good one. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They've looked after us for a very long time, and we're very grateful to them. Please support UK2. Lee Garrett bought himself a couple of websites this week and tweeted out, thanks very much to UK2 for supporting British tech, and they retweeted that on. And lots of people have done it this week. Thank you very much to those that have. Please support UK2 by just giving a tweet saying that you appreciate them supporting British tech and get your stuff from them. BritishTechNetwork.com/UK2 and also BritishTechNetwork.com/support, and you can get all the offer codes from UK2 there and get 20% off your basket. It's brilliant. And it works for renewals as well as first timers. Yes, mate.
UK2 this week. I'm not a web developer. I'm playing around on my own web WordPress site, and I did something wrong. I had no idea what I did. So I went onto UK2's website, went onto their web chat, and said help. And the guy there talked me through some of my cPanel settings and how to restore the website that I had cocked up on my own, and got me back up and running in about 15, 20 minutes. Support was awesome.
Brilliant. There you go. That's the endorsement.
Oh, wow.
No worries at all. And please also support Hoya, because Hoya look after us as well. They gave us a Mac Mini for the Skype wall. They will have a brand new product here after Christmas, which I cannot wait for, Uniku. You're going to see me get my face measured, and thanks to whoever it was in the chat room earlier on said, is there going to be a thing big enough? Thanks, mate. And also, you're going to see me glasses being made and then fitted and the whole thing. And if you don't want those, if you think, well, I don't want frames, I really like the ones that you've got on that haven't got the big bulky frames, then that's okay. You can get them by going to podcast@hoya.co.uk and just say, I want to get fitted and checked out for the Avantech. Mark will make sure it's forwarded onto your local person. Your local rep will turn up. They'll do the whole iPad thing and scan your face and get the right angles and all that kind of thing like you saw us do on the show last year. And you'll get your own Avantech glasses. So there you go. We've had some reviews. Thank you to people who've left reviews. It does mean an awful lot to us. This one is from FNUF. He says, the title says it all, achieves exactly what it sets out to. I listen to a number of American tech-related podcasts, but since I discovered these shows, they sound stuffy and too predictable. Every so often, a real gem emerges that spans two episodes. I know what he's referred to, but I don't remember it.
I do.
At least my fellow train passengers think I've lost it. Maybe I have. Roll on 2017. And also, Grown Up Geek says, the podcasts that BTN provide now mean I have significantly less free time available due to watch all the wonderful content produced. It's like sitting down in the pub with a big group of similar people. Informed debate with a great panel from all over the world. This show is perfect for all non-Apple stuff in the world. A great community around the show that engages outside of the show at times. BTN are producing some great stuff that deserves higher praise. Thanks very much, everyone, and a long wait, long may it continue. Be careful, though. The cool things at the end can seriously damage one's bank account. Yeah, they can. That's a good point. I'm a few quid lighter already this week. If you'd like to give us a review, we would appreciate it. Thank you very much. Big Show's lacking reviews compared to the Mac Show quite severely. So please give us some reviews. That'd be really, really good, because it really throws us up in iTunes that week and gets people to notice us. And also, please look after Kyle on the news show. He sits there, plugs away day after day after day. Loads of you are listening to it, but he doesn't get an awful lot of reviews go up in iTunes. And again, that would make his work seem an awful lot more worthwhile if he saw us floating up there in iTunes. So please review Kyle's show as well. Right, it's time for the cool thing. The bit that costs you all the money. The one that is damaging to one's bank account. Unquote. Grown Up Geek. Go for it, Alistair.
Well, I'm standing at it at the moment. Let me just swing this around. This is a cardboard standing desk. I don't know if you can see that.
Whoa!
Okay, I'm obviously in my spare bedroom. That's why it's such a mess.
Right.
But I constructed this thing. It was flat packed, made of cardboard, and it's...
So it's a product. It's not something that you've made out of something that...
Yeah, you've not gone to IKEA and used the wrong bits from the box.
Cool. This is from iBox. That's A-I-B-O-X. Now, these things exist, and they cost a lot of money. iBox is selling it for £129, which I suppose you could probably get a wooden desk from IKEA for less than that, but it's a stand-up desk. So it comes up to this height, and built it myself, and you can take it apart easily, pack it flat, and it has little carry handles, and you can put it somewhere else, you can store it. And it's quite a lot bigger than I thought it would be in terms of a desk. So I tried it out. You'll see a longer review of the mess I made of trying to build it as well. Register, but you know, you can get computer, separate monitor, keyboard, drinks,
toys,
all sitting on here, so it was okay.
It looks fairly
Alistair, you say obviously standing desk, does that mean you can sit at it as well, or is it built and fixed in that standing position?
It's built and fixed in a standing position, so it's not one of those adapters where you sit, you puts on a normal desk. It is this height, you can't change its height, it's just made of cardboard.
Right.
I think the one problem is that it, because it's made of cardboard, it kind of wobbles a bit.
So you said you could pack it up and take it down and carry it with you. Do you get the impression when you put it together that if you take it up and down too often, it would start to lose its rigidity or its fixings?
I think that would be inevitable, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What I like is it's a stand-up desk that I can pick up and move around without assistance.
Yeah. So it's like an ironing board, effectively, in terms of its flexibility, isn't it?
But when I say cardboard, I mean each surface is a good centimetre and a half thick. So it's reinforced, multi-layered, corrugated inside, smooth on the outside. So.
Triggered the chat room's put, did it arrive in a box made of pine?
Ah, this is the thing. It came in a box made of cardboard, the same kind of cardboard. I didn't know which bits to throw away. So it took up to an hour to actually take it out of the box because I didn't know what to tear.
Where the box finished, the table began. Yeah.
And even then I was staring at it going, what do I do now? It's all cardboard.
Were the instructions camouflaged as well?
The instructions were like the stuff you get in IKEA, so they were incomprehensible.
At least there was no Allen key and screws.
Well, that's true. I did have some leftover parts.
Oh, dear. maybe that's why it wobbles.
I like the. I can imagine an office. I was thinking, you know, for £129, you know, ooh, shall I get a new MacBook Pro or shall I get 30 desks? You know. all it needs is now a cardboard stool to sit at it. It would be quite nice.
Yeah, no.
That would defeat the point, obviously.
Is there any idea why do you think the price point seems? Because that seems quite high, I do have to say, but.
Well, all the ones I've seen before this kind of design were all £150 plus.
Right.
And I suppose, this was a Kickstarter thing, so I think they were targeting a certain price. I think you can get these either direct or from Amazon, these iBox ones.
London
they
bed sit.
They are slightly cheaper than the others I've seen, that was all.
Yeah, do you think it's kind of aimed at the London bedsit professional who doesn't have a lot of space and...
Well, I say once you've mounted it, it takes up a lot of space.
Yeah, but you can move it to the edge of the room backwards and forwards dead easy because it's light.
Yeah, well, I could almost see it in a proper office.
Oh, right, okay.
Interesting. Where, you know, you could move it around and use it for stuff.
Now, what was the link you said for that again?
Oh, blimey. Let me just check.
I put in AIBOX.
Co.UK. Let me just check. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
AIBOX.co.uk. I put in .com. That's why I didn't go there. Mm. Right. Excellent. Oh, they do shelving and stuff as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you wanted just a kind of boxy adapter, so it sits on your normal desk and put your laptop on, it's like £20 or less.
Oh, standing desk adapter, £19. Yeah, that's now that we're talking.
Yeah, but then you'd have to clear your desk,
good
which is impossible.
How do you know? Have you been telling him about my desk?
No, but I mean, everyone's desks.
Oh, crap. Okay. Yeah, good point. It does look good. That's interesting. Very
That's
interesting.
That's the coolest thing of the week for me.
Yeah, it is. That's good. That is a good, cool thing. Camps.
Yeah, so if you've already listened to the Mac show and you've seen my cool thing, apologies. It's the same one I only had. This is really what I've done this week, apart from a little bit of work here and there. So Run Gun Jump Gun, 229 UK in the App Store. And it's a bit of a retro Jet Set Willy type game, I suppose, is probably the best thing. It's a two-finger control game, one to push the jetpack and one to fire. No in-app purchases, 120 different levels on there for £2.29. It's just a good, fun retro game. It's well put together. If you've played Jet Set Willy, you've played this type of game before, jetpack. And I'm sure you'll love this type of game going forward. It's a good game for that price.
Jetpack, sorry.
Yeah.
Definitely. Love it. I'll be buying that, no question. £2.29 in the UK store. So
yeah.
$3.99, I would say. Perhaps. Good one. Like that. Although you've picked it twice. But I'll forgive you because you're on both shows. No, it's all right, mate. Forgive me. Carrie, talk us through yours. Yours is interesting.
Well, we did say cool thingy, so I took that literally.
Fridge.
People that were the first to own the GTX 1070 and 1080 graphics cards coming from EVGA. Have a optional fix that they may choose to apply or may not choose to apply. There was a case, I believe Tom's Hardware had caused the card to overheat by pressing it harder than most people would ever push the card. During normal gameplay, the card isn't always pushed at 100%. So they ran tests on the card and actually got the card to overheat. And so EVGA, I like the company because they do stand behind the products. And even though this probably wouldn't affect 99.7% of the EVGA 1070 and 1080 video card holders, EVGA offered this patch, if you will, for free to anybody who wants to do it. They will honor the warranty on the card regardless, one way or the other. And basically what it is, there's a firmware update that adjusts the speed of the fans. And there are these little thermal pads that require, well, I'd say some comfort with electronics to disassemble the card in two different manners to apply these little thermal pads so that the little VRMs can make contact with the cold plate on the back. And that's supposed to address the heating issues. And an all-new 1070 and 1080 cards shipping currently already have the fix applied, supposedly. So if you have a GTX 1070 or 1080 made by EVGA, and this is something that interests you, the thermal pad kit is free. They will send it to you free of charge. And the firmware update is obviously the only thing I would recommend the average user do is nothing at all, really. I don't think it's something that's going to affect the average user. But you know how the internet is. The information gets out and everybody thinks they're affected. So there's this mob mentality. And so if you subscribe to that, then you go ahead and download the firmware update. I would not apply the thermal pads. There's some videos on YouTube that actually show what the process is for those that are interested. But again, this is what happens when you're an early adopter for any new technology. This is to be expected. And I applaud EVGA for offering this to appease the masses, even though the actual number of people this would actually affect is a very small fraction of owners, but good for EVGA. And that's why I like, their products do cost a little bit more, but this is what you get in exchange for that little bit of extra price. You get that kind of support.
There you go. That's good customer service. Excellent, mate. Cool. Righty boy.
Well, I did that old thing the other day where I was losing a load of data on my iPhone. So I did the old wipe and someone's new phone. And I was going through like the old purchases thing, and I realised I've never ever brought this to the big show. But if you remember the old Bitmap Brothers and Xenon 2 and all the great games from the Amiga from the late 80s and early 90s, you probably remember Speedball 2, which is one of the best games ever.
I'm buying.
And I completely forgot that I bought it a couple of years back. It's still in the App Store. It's still £2.29. It's got a couple of, you can use the accelerometer to move people around, or it's got a joystick to move people around. But it's got the same graphics, it's got the same sound effects, it's got everything. So if you loved everything that was Feeble 2, I was saying to the wife, I was going, I've got to sit down today and I've got to find a story for the big show and find a cool thing. And then I found Feeble 2 and I spent about an hour and a half just playing, working through the league and all the management stuff's there and all the stuff to build up your players and your teams are all there. So if you love retro games, this is probably one of the most retro games you're ever going to play on an iPhone, and it works like a dream. And it's $229, but it's brilliant. And it's just amazing in this day and age that something that worked on like your big old home computer works on your iPhone.
Excellent, mate. Excellent. Good pick. I like that. What was the price? It's $229 again, so same thing.
That game bonkers on at the time. I could never get it bloody work. Every time I did anything, it would jump to a different player.
Oh, no, I found it really responsive. The only warning I'll give anyone tonight is I downloaded again tonight, and when I launched the app, it said, this has not been optimized for your device. It may cause your device to slow down. And it was a warning on the screen, but I said, okay, and it ran absolutely brilliantly. And I sat there for an hour and a half today, and I've got halfway up the league, and it's just like the old days using the keyboard.
That's kind of brilliant. Can't wait now. Buying it now.
You've got a group of people who are going to have a dead leg in the morning while they're having a crap.
Yeah, man, you bought it.
Morning motion is sorted.
Excellent. Got them balls.
Cool pick. I'm just setting up the graphic for my cool thing, so I'm going to have to edit later on when I post the show, because I always edit.
Yeah!
Thank you, derisory grunt. Now then, do you remember 2 years ago on the big show, I recommended a light? And I said it was great because it's motion-activated light. It runs off four big, I think the D-cell, aren't they, the big ones?
Solemn ones, yeah.
Yeah, the solemn lights. I just wanted to give you an update, really, and say this is why it was a cool thing for me, and it's still my cool thing. That's the solemn light. It's got one sensor at the bottom and then two LEDs at the top. And I've got two of these in the safe cupboard where I keep storing all the computer stuff and camera stuff here at the office. When you go in there, there's no lights, there's no availability for a light, there's no electrical power or anything like that. So I put these in because they were battery powered and they basically work off motion. So as soon as I walk in there, the lights come on. Now they're quite light sensitive, so they won't come on if the lights in the hall are on because that gives me enough light. But two of these in there have solved all my problems with seeing to put the stuff in and out of the safes when I use the office. They run on four D-cell batteries, so it's not cheap to get going, but I just wanted to tell you that I still haven't changed the batteries in them for 2 years.
Whoa.
Nearly 2 years now.
That's good, mate.
Ewan, I bought one of these following your recommendation 2 years ago for down one side of my house, and same, it still works, and I've never changed the batteries on those.
Yeah, and I'm in that cupboard twice a day, 5 days a week. So.
And they're half price.
And they are half price at the moment. Wow, I didn't know that.
What?
I paid loads for them. They're only $15.99.
I'll just bought that, you bastard.
Yeah. The one I've got's outside as well, so it's had 18 months to 2 years worth of weather on it, and it works absolutely fine now.
Yeah, they're waterproof, waterproof. They're completely adjustable, so you can tilt them up and down, left and right, and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no motion.
Outside your house, how many have you got?
It's only on one side. I'm sorry, on one side of my house, there's a small sort of down the side to where my garage is. There's I've got LED mains powered lights around the majority of my house, but just one small side that's not really an access area. I've just put a couple of these really, so if anybody did go down there, the light would go off. It's nothing more than that. I put these up and still 18 months later, I've never changed the batteries and they still work. The only time I ever go around and set them off is when I go take the bins out on a night.
And it's bright enough,
and these ones?
Yeah, there's nothing to see.
And they come with a battery, these ones?
No. Yeah, that's the bit. He wants to set them up. You've got to buy four of those big D-cell batteries, and that runs you about £8 or £12 over it if you get the Duracells. But I bought Duracells and stuck them in. There's no power socket, so you can't say, "Oh, I'll just override it with a power supply," because there isn't one. You've got to put the D-cell batteries in. But if you say you can use rechargeables, you never recharge them. That's the thing.
Oh, but they've got a special price on the D batteries as well.
Bought together £20. There you go.
Yeah.
Rocking.
I reckon that's probably going to be cheaper to buy the batteries by just buying another light than it is to go over to Tesco and get some batteries.
That's excellent.
It's not a cool thing I'm cheating because I've done it before, but I just thought you'd like an update. There you go. Never change the batteries. And everyone's just bought one.
I literally have just bought.
My security lights are all knackered. I was going to get the whole thing replaced for several hundred quid. I'm not going to now.
Well, you're not going to. If you put these high up on the outside of your building, they're not going to illuminate and bathe the place in light.
No, it's not.
It's just
for
so
high
you don't
up.
Trip over.
It's for low down.
Yeah, no. Just, they're great for just so you don't trip over.
I have to commend you on doing a follow-up review. There's nothing that just really gets me more upset than somebody recommends a product that they've only had for about 2 weeks from a manufacturer. I like, and I think we should see this more commonplace, where somebody lives with the product, relies on the product, just like anybody who would buy the product.
Yeah, good point.
And then reports back on it after a certain period of time to let us know how is it working, if you had any problems, and if you did have problems, how easy was the company to reach, and how painless or painful did they make the process of resolving it, or did they resolve it? I think that's all critical information that should be part of every single review. So kudos to you. Good job. Thank you.
I shall rewrite I'll write a review, because I didn't write one originally. Yep. I just put it as a cool thing.
And you've just saved my marriage as well.
Well, that's anything I can do.
Are you going to put that on the toilet seat? Is that why you've been missing at night?
No. We've got a light inside the front of our front door that has been knackered for about 18 months. And the wife's always like, you've got to rewire that, got to do that shit and all that. And no, I'm just going to get this and screw that to the wall.
Yeah, you know.
With that and the batteries.
Ladies, when a man says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. You don't have to remind him every 6 months.
No, but I'm going to do it. I've just done it. I'm £20 down, but I don't care.
Everyone that listens to this show regularly will know that I still have Sharon's dad's tap spanner. And I've had it for 16 years, and I've never tightened the tap yet.
Anything.
I'm not proud of it. It's not good.
So. I think it's yours now.
Yeah, technically, maybe. There's a limit. The statute of limitation on it has run out or something, yeah. Excellent. Good picks all round. I like that. Right, where can we get a hold of you? Mr. Dabs.
Right, as ever, I'll be writing my Register column. It appears every Friday morning, so that's written. Hopefully it'll be there tomorrow morning at theregister.co.uk.
Excellent, mate. And sat in the corner every time you hear anyone from Huawei ringing up going la, 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 with your fingers in your ears.
Ra, 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 ra. Yeah.
Talking to Lady Gaga?
Could be. Camps, where are you, mate?
I'm Camping UK on Twitter, occasionally on The Matt Show, most weeks on The Big Show, and in the Slack room.
Excellent, mate. If you want to join the Slack room, then just send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com asking to be let into the Slack room, and we'll send you an invite. It's as simple as that. You can't just say, please can I come in on Twitter, because I need an email to register you, so just send it through. There are some terms and conditions, but they're not onerous. Carrie, where the hell are you, mate?
As always, I've got all my latest videos on computer builds and repairs at my YouTube channel, which you can find easily enough by just going to carrieholzman.com.
Excellent, mate. And what have you put up lately?
I just finished my, this is kind of funny, the build I started in June, the summer 2016 build has finally been edited and posted. The fall 2016 build is on part 3 that I'm posting now. There's a winter build I've already done the introduction for, which is outrageous. It uses this amazing billet aluminum case. And those of you that have been following me, this manufacturer sent me this case a year and a half ago. So I'm finally going to build a video. Build
like
a computer with
case
the
case that's whittled down to 20 grams.
Yeah, it starts with like 300 pounds of aluminum. It's CNC machined. It's got a 7-inch color screen built on the front of it. It's really unique. There's nothing like it. And you won't be able to find a video showcasing how to build a computer in this case any place else on the internet. My YouTube channel will be the only place, that's a bold statement, anywhere on the internet that will showcase how to build a computer utilizing this case. And it's a X99 Core i7 2011, socket 2011 Broadwell E-chip, 32 gigs of RAM, Samsung Evo NVMe Express, 2500 megabyte per second read speeds. This thing is going to be a rocket ship, and it's going to look gorgeous doing it.
I'll have it afterwards when you do it, if you want.
$4,300 is the total cost.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely look after it for you. No problems, mate. No worries. And the other, don't worry about...
Inside cupboard is a spanner, I suppose.
The thing is as well, don't worry about being truthful when you make claims like that, mate. That's what the internet is now. You just say it, it's done, it's out there. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not.
Not on my channel. We do it. I'm a real computer tech, and all I'm doing is turning the camera on, and I'm showing you real computers being built for real people that I have to support indefinitely. I show real repairs, the diagnostics, and the logic that I follow. I never know what's going to happen. It's all recorded live. Nothing is scripted, and it's all kept real. Now, I might make mistakes, and I might be wrong, but it's real.
Good. I like that. Definitely. Mm-hmm. You can't. We do this show live as well. It's none of it scripted.
Well, what's this then?
You can't tell.
Sorry. Ewan says none of it's scripted. Oh, it's your line.
Talking of unscripted, righty boy, where can we get you, mate?
I'm ordering lights. Don't disturb me.
Oh, right. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, no. No, follow us on Twitter, mate. Writing over at btn.com and always with you boys in the Slack. We make my morning every morning. It's always lovely in there because everyone's just saying, hello, how are you doing? It's just a really nice way to start the day.
It is. Reviewers, how are we doing for reviewers? You're in a process for us where anyone can review on BTN, can't they? If they've bought a product, they can send a review in.
Yeah, they can. They can email BTN or on the post on our site. My brother-in-law did a review this week that's on the site as well. He picked it up. He's a listener to the show, and he enjoyed doing his first review, and he's got some more coming. Cams has done some. Mac Jim has done some. We're getting more reviews than ever before. So if you've got something that you've just bought and you enjoy, or if you hate it, just send us a review. We'd really love to get up there on getting the site, filled with all the best kind of reviews from you guys.
Okay, yep. So just write in, ask us for your stuff, or just send us a review, and we're going to proofread it. That's not for spelling. It's just going to mean we're just going to check that there's nothing in there that means we're going to be in court in 6 months' time.
Exactly.
Apart from that, we'll put it up untouched, promise you. Spelling mistakes and all, if that's what you want. Do try and do some research and make sure it's factual and all that kind of stuff, please. That would be really appreciated, but no problem. Invite sent, Alistair.
Thanks.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We're back again next Thursday night, as well as no idea who's on, but never mind. See you week. Thanks for listening.